here. Okay. Well, first and foremost, God bless all of you who are looking at me through Facebook. We're all here knowing that you got smiles in your hearts. And to those of you here, what a great glow is about you and in you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to try not to get choked up here because I want to share with you another one of God's miracles that my wife and I found out about just the other day. Someone we've been praying for. And the person's name is so appropriate. The gentleman's name is Victor, and we have Victorious. our dear sister Ruth in Mexico, her son-in-law Victor was told by the doctors that he was to have one of his legs amputated, and he was diabetic. So not a good combination either way. I'm not going to say you slice it. Either way it goes. Well, we were told that he no longer has to have his leg amputated. And he is no longer a diabetic. So, did the doctors give him a magic pill? No. Did your prayers, my prayers, and theirs work? Absolutely. The proof is in the witness. So, Victor, we sent him a little message this morning saying, your name is so appropriate because you had another victorious miracle happen in your life. So, I wanted to share that with you because it brought great, great joy to our lives. And so, prayer is powerful. That's why we have a prayer team. Not to mention prayers that we have on an individual basis, day in and day out. So, we've had a theme of not conforming to this world. And lately, I've been looking at a subject matter that definitely ties into this. And you'll know right now when I mention the title. The theme verse that is up there, it's kind of small, but I'll still read you the theme verse. It's in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. There we go. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding, don't stop, abundantly above all that we ask or think. Remember I told you ask. According to the power that worketh in us. What is that power? Jesus Christ and that Holy Spirit. And the rest of the verse goes on to say, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. So it didn't just come up to a certain point and then, okay, the rest of you, you're on your own. It was here then. It's here now, and it will be here tomorrow. Take it that Jesus Christ doesn't return when he says, you know what? Let's go. Let's go. So, excuse me. The title of this morning's sharing is Drawing Upon God's Sufficiency. So, how does that tie into not conforming to the world? As we'll see, the world is constantly trying to grab us. God says, come to me first. Seek the Lord first. His sufficiency has gotten Shati and I through many a situations, too many to mention now, but there have been times in our lives where we took a step back and said, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get through all this? But you know what we did after we said those words? We prayed. We asked the Father for his help. And I'm not going to say, guess what? But what happened was we got through the situation. Praise God. And after that, the next words out of our mouth, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Stuff that with our own minuscule wisdom could not see how this could be turned around. But God says, boom, it's turned around. So his sufficiency is ours for the taking. Like Vicki Barnhart mentioned in last Thursday's fellowship, which I thought was neat, And that is to be totally and absolutely dependent upon God. Back to the sufficiency, right? Absolutely. When I heard that, I said, let me jot that down. Making him our sufficiency is the opposite of conforming to this world and why it fights for our attention via a commercial on TV, something on the radio, somebody on the street, a salesperson that comes up to your door. The world is constantly trying to say, do it our way. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. That's why God says, come to me. Ask, ask. Now, here's something that I knew a little bit about, but not at this magnitude. And it's the latest report card on the figures of this country's household debt. Jeannie, you can relate to this probably, being an accountant. And this is part of conforming to the world's self-sufficiency. For the first quarter only, we're speaking of 2023, the United States household rose to $148 billion with a B dollars in debt to the grand total of $17 trillion with a T. Wow. When I saw those figures, I just said, wow. How does that happen? You're writing out a check, you're trying to pay something off or whatever, and the world is saying, borrow, borrow. We got all that you need. Borrow, borrow. You start doing that, and before you know it, the hole is too big to get out of. I speak from experience, except I didn't let my hole get that big. Plus, I married a beautiful wife who said, nope. Now, how about going to the Father for wisdom in a plan for our prosperity? I think that's the best plan we could ever have, right? Making him our first sufficiency, that the only interest rate involved is his interest in you and I. What's his interest rate? Thank you, Jeannie. It's in you and I. Doesn't his word mention that? For this, I would like for us all to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. I'm going to be reading this one out of the Amplified. And in Philippians 4, chapter 19, verse 19, I'm sorry. It reads, and my God will liberally supply, filled to the full, your every need according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. Amen. When you read verses like that and know that it's the truth, it can't help but build you up and give you great comfort and peace in your hearts. And looking again at the theme verse of Scripture, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, it's laid out before us. It's laid out before us. Why would you turn your head? Why would you think your way is better? It's not, including me. It's not. We put our trust in the Father. Faith is the starting point, okay? Our sufficiency should be looking up for help, not at the neighborhood bank. In life, there are many types of sufficiencies. For example, speaking of the bank, do we have sufficient funds to cover a check? If you don't, the world is at your feet again. Borrow. Take out a loan. Forget the interest rate. You can pay it off little by little. Little by little meaning you'll never pay it off in your life. Is the bank going to tell you, oh, don't worry, we're going to put $500 in your account? Nope. Self-sufficiency once again. It'd be nice if they did that, but that ain't going to happen. Or what can I do to make things better? Not God, but my wisdom. Looking at self. Not so dependable. And we've seen that happen time and time again. And it doesn't matter if you got a PhD or you're the president of the United States or what have you. You are not nearly as dependable as the Father. And he gives us He gives us the things we need. We've seen it in verses of Scripture. You read it day in and day out. Remember, God's sufficiency never runs dry. All we have to do is ask, and continue to ask for His help. Amen? And then acknowledge Him by simply saying, "Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you." He's given us the 66 books of the Old Testament and the New Testament, which contains all the words that Almighty God knows we'll ever need. Speaking of sufficiency, it's all in the book. Aside from Him speaking to you directly, that can happen also, and that has happened. Now, let's start with these two verses of God's perfect word on being our sufficiency. And for the first one, we are going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. So let me go there for you. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. I think we've already covered that. But it ain't me talking here. It's God. Or think anything as of ourselves, but our what? Sufficiency is of who? God. End of story. Period. While we're in 2 Corinthians, let's go to chapter 9. Show you something else. 2 Corinthians 9, and when you get there, go to verse 8. Believe me, there's many, many other verses of Scripture that cover this topic, but we're only here for a few, so I try to pick out ones that I trust will bless you and bring glory to the Father. 2 Corinthians 9:8 reads, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all what? Sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." God loves that word all, and why wouldn't He? So, if we were building a house, we would need lumber, concrete, electrical supplies, and more. Then we could achieve the construction as planned. And so God can give us all we need to build on growing, excuse me, to build on, excuse me, to build on growing in our spiritual lives and bring Him glory and to bless one another. As with Abraham at first, he didn't realize the magnitude of how the Almighty God truly provides until God says to Abraham if you can go to Genesis 15:3, this is what the Father said to Abraham. Genesis 15 and starting in verse 3. This will be out of the NLT. "You have given me no descendants of my own. So one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Verse 5. "Then the Lord took Abraham outside," or in this case, it was Abram, "to look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And in verse 6, "And Abram believed the Lord." There's the key, believe the Lord. He could have said, "Oh, that'd be nice," or "if only that would happen," or "God's got to be kidding, count the stars." The Lord and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. He counts you and I righteous because of our faith. We're saying, Father, I believe all that you have for me, all that you say to me, and all of your guidance. It's crucial. But again, it starts with faith. It isn't always easy, but it's a starting point for our lives. Abraham's temptation was looking at his own sufficient resources, as we do ourselves from time to time. And that's true. Let's read this record in Romans. It will pick it up in chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Romans 4, 1, please. Yeah, we have many opportunities in our life to give up or to say, this didn't work. Now what do I do? Well, I'm here to tell you and tell myself that maybe you should have started by seeking God first, giving him a prayer of need. He's up there. This is just me doing this, waiting for prayers, waiting for you to ask him. So what do? We ask him for help, reminding ourselves that he is our sufficiency. So I said Romans chapter 4, starting, and these are NLTs, 4:1. Abraham was humanly speaking of what the nation of the Judeans and what we are today, what did he discover about being made right with God? Verse 2, if his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. Verse 3, for the scriptures tell us Abraham believed, again, there's the key, believed God and counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. So, what do we do? What do we do? We continue to reach out to the Father, knowing that he is the one that will bless us in our needs. They come in all shapes, sizes, colors, what have you. Now that Abraham was keeping, not keeping his ways, but God's, let's look at Romans, the same chapter 4, and we're going to drop down to verse 13, please. 4:13, and pick it up from there. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary, and the promise is pointless. 15. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law. 16. So the promise is received by faith. By faith. It is given as a free gift, as we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. That what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in God, who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, and there were, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. That's a given. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's wonderful promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. It grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God, as you and I can. As you and I can. Miracles, getting someone or helping someone become born again, the glory is all God. Okay? Verse 22, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. The same for you and I today. The same for you and I today. That's on our resume. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit. For our benefit. Also, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. We don't want to be wrong with God. We want to be right with God. And that's where all this brings us and takes us to. There's going to be opportunities in life where we try and figure things out. It's human nature. Do your best to stop yourself and say, oh, Father, this does not compare to you and what you have for me. Abraham trusted God's promises and discovered that sufficiency by believing God's word and trusting what God said he would do, it works. It works. Let me close with this. Our one true God is omnipotent. Exclamation point. Boom. God does not need help in accomplishing that which he sets out to accomplish. Man is arrogant, thinking he can do what only God can do, or man's ways are adequate when it is God who can help man. God is not needy. Men are. God is not insufficient. Man is. So it's okay to completely trust in the Father as our sufficiency and his promises. Let's make our Abba Father our comprehensive help. Our comprehensive help. And have the faith of Abraham. Amen? So that's what I wanted to share this morning for you and give you a little pep talk along with myself, that we continue to make the Father our sufficiency and watch things unfold. We see it all the time. God proves his goodness and his love for you and I this very day. So, gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for being our sufficiency. And Father, for showing us what we need to see, giving us the eyes and enlightening our hearts, Father, as we seek you first, no matter how trivial we think the need is, you care. No matter how big the mountain seems to be, you reach out your hand to us. And what a wonderful plan that our big brother, Jesus Christ, endured for us to even have these opportunities today. So, Father, we will always have a need, or should I say plural, needs in our lives. Help us to seek you, to continue to be our sufficiency, Father. And it's all in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, buddy. You're welcome.